Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Hello, everybody. I'm here with one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Hi.
Gunner, my amazing 13-year-old son. And sorry, you guys. I wish you could see his face because his face looks more amazing than his voice sounds. So I am the lucky one. I get to see his amazing, gorgeous face every day. But you guys get to hear his awesome voice and feel of his spirit. So here we go. You ready for this, Gunner?
Yeah.
Okay, this week, the word of the week is?
Light.
Light. Okay, what is light? Why do we want light? How do we get more light? That's what we're going to talk about. I love this. Simple. Simple, simple. So, Gunner, go ahead and start us off with John in the Bible, chapter 8, verse 12.
It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
The light of life. Who wouldn't want that? Doesn't that sound amazing? I love it. So when Clint came home on hospice, he was all about light and dark. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, it's simple, Camille. It's simple. There's light and there's dark. We just need to choose the light. And what is the light? Gunner just read, the light of Christ. How do we choose the light of Christ? Let's break that down a little bit. I love, love, love this quote that I heard. And it's by Elder Richard G. Scott, who is a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. If you don't know the church, just similar to when Christ was on the earth, you know, if you're not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but you are a Christian and listening to this Christian podcast, then you're going to be familiar with when Jesus was on the earth, he had 12 apostles. Well, the church that was on the earth when Jesus was alive was restored through Joseph Smith when he prayed and was 14 years old. And the amazing truth of the gospel and how it's patterned and how it was set up is restored to the earth, as well as the companion account to the Bible, which is the Book of Mormon, which is an ancient record of the people in the ancient Americas before Christ was born, when he visited the ancient Americas, and then after Christ. So this is a quote from a now apostle who's alive now. So he is similar to like Peter, James, and John. He is an apostle of the Lord. And his take on light, I love. So, and again, his name's Elder Richard G. Scott. And he said, "Scriptures are like packets of light that illuminate our minds and give place to guidance and inspiration from on high." And I love that because little by little, when we read, when we study, we get that illumination to our mind. And I really love how he laid that out, that you could also get guidance and inspiration. What do you think about that, Gunner?
Yeah, I think that's very true because whenever I read my scriptures, I always notice how I always feel better and always have a better day when I read my scriptures. And so I know that that's true, that they came from God, because no, I truly believe that Joseph Smith couldn't have just made up every single thing in the Bible.
The Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon. And I have like a revelation of that. I feel that that's definitely true.
Yeah. And it's neat because not only do you learn those stories, but you also get, I love that he said his last line, and it gives place to guidance and inspiration from on high.
Yeah.
So those thoughts that come to your mind as you take that time for the Lord and read the Bible and read his words or read the Book of Mormon and marinate on those things, then your mind will be illuminated. And I love that. Little packets of light in is the words of God. And that has stuck in my mind for years, ever since I heard that. I just love the imagery of it. And I really feel that as, you know, how simple is that to just pick up the Bible, pick up the Book of Mormon, and read, right? It's not that hard, right?
Yeah.
But it gets in the way and our lives get busy. And for some reason, sometimes, and I'm guilty of it a lot, that I don't. And it's like, why can't we take time to do that?
Yeah, it only takes a few minutes a day to read your scriptures.
Yeah. So anyway, I love that. And again, I'm far from perfect at doing it myself, but hey, we're on this journey together. And anyway, we love to share with you guys what helps us out. So number one, bring more light into your life, study. I really love this. And Gunnar, I would love you to share Isaiah. So it's in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5.
It says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Let us walk in the light of the Lord. And then another scripture right below that, Gunnar, would you read that one?
It's D&C 84, verse 45 and 46. And it says, For the word of the Lord is truth, and whatsoever is truth is light, and whatsoever is light is spirit, and even the spirit of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit giveth light to every man that cometh into the world. And the Spirit enlighteneth every man through the world that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. So, the word of the Lord is truth. And truth is light. Light is the Spirit, even the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So, I love that. And God is no respecter of persons, right? It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what part of the world you live in. It doesn't matter your age. Everybody has the light of Christ. And in order to get more light, you follow the light. You follow the truth. And I love that. So when Clint was in the hospital, he was one step below life support. And it was about a good 24 hours that he was like in a comatose state. Where we didn't know if he was going to come out of it. We didn't know if he was going to wake up and this was going to be the end or not. We didn't know. And he was in the ICU at this cancer hospital where you have to be 14 years old to get into the ICU. So we had the three smallest little 14-year-olds you ever saw sneak in at night. Do you remember sneaking in?
Yeah.
To the intensive care unit there? And, yeah, we had one Reisty nurse stop us in the hallway. I remember we were like, then the one that knew him and was his nurse was like, you just keep walking, I'll talk to her. But they were able to visit him. And after 24 hours, he came out of it. And they were able to remove the oxygen mask that he was like wearing. He didn't have a breathing tube. He was like one step away from a breathing tube. But they were able to remove that. And then he came to, and I remember him the next day looking around the room and saying, did you hear that? And I'm like, no. What are you talking about? And he's like, never mind. And then because he had his lungs were compromised with cancer and an infection, that they gave him like a dental, almost looks like what you would do at the dental office when they say, close your mouth, and it sucks out the spit out of your mouth. Well, they gave him that because when he came out of it and his lungs were almost in a state of like with pneumonia and fluid and who knows all that was going on, but they gave him one of those. And so he would put that in his mouth and then it would suck out the spit. And then he'd look at me and he'd say, did you hear that? And I'd say, no, what are you talking about? You know? And he said, never mind. And as the day went by, he had our clergy, so it's kind of like a preacher. Our stake presidency came that night, and he started to say that he was feeling this darkness, and he was hearing like taunting words saying, you know, you can't choose the light. You can't choose the light. And as he was like sucking that infection out of his mouth, he said he would hear almost like different languages and that were disturbing, unsettling to him. And he said when he was under that 24 to 36 hour period where he was unconscious, he said that he saw Satan and he saw the adversary, and he was in darkness and he was mocking him, saying, "You can't choose the light. You can't choose the right. You can't." And Clint was so disturbed by it. Like, I had no idea he had gone through that. And as I heard him unloading his spirit there to our friends and religious leaders, I didn't quite comprehend the intensity of that. But they said, "Clint, for some reason, you got not only a testimony of the light, you have been given a testimony of the reality of the darkness that exists in this world." And Clint went on to say that he was literally in a bad vision of darkness when he was in that comatose state. And he said to that darkness, he said, "I am a disciple of our Savior Jesus Christ, and I will choose the light." And then he said that's when he started to lift out of that comatose state and when he came to. And as I sat there and listened to him, I was just, I don't know, it's just in awe and the spirit in the room. And then he said, you know, he would get these images, like the disturbing images popping up in his mind he had had throughout that day since he'd come to. And those voices that he was hearing. And it was just so unsettling to him. Like, here you are in an intensive care unit on the verge of death. And he was getting this sick, twisted revelation of the darkness that exists in the world and that is around us. And he was confused as to why he has to encounter that. And then our stake leaders and our amazing bishop that was there, they gave him a blessing and told him that not only was he aware of the light that was in the world, he was also given that testimony of the darkness that exists in this world. And that as he walked hand in hand with the Savior and chose the light, that those feelings and those thoughts and those memories of that bad experience would lighten up and he would feel better. And I palpably saw that. Like, I saw once they said amen, and then as that night went on and as the next day went, it was lifted. Like, it just little by little, that light was infused back into his life. And it was so interesting when he came home. Like, I didn't quite grasp then, but as I have looked back on it, he was a changed person. Don't you think, Gunnar, when he came home on hospice?
Definitely.
He wasn't the same. It was, and I joke, it was like he was a Yoda master of light.
Yeah, he kept on talking about, like, "Oh, this is all real. It's all puzzle pieces. Can't you see it? Like, it's, everything's fitting together, puzzle pieces. The second coming is going to happen." And he would rant off about all this stuff and all the spiritual things. And I don't remember a lot of it, but it was definitely interesting because he never really did that until he came home on hospice.
Yeah, it's like that comatose state and that experience like unlocked more of his spirit, and he was just on a different level and on a different plane than everybody else. And he was one never to force his ideals and never to push his thoughts on people. But when he came home, like I say, he was not scared at all and not shy or timid to share his belief in the light and the dark that existed in this world. And every day he would talk about light, and he would say, "It's simple. There's light and there's dark. Choose the light." And it was so beautiful. And so, and that's what's amazing about the gospel and our Savior Jesus Christ, is it's simple. We choose the light. We choose to read his words. And when we do that, we get edified and uplifted. And I love, love, love that. Because once you start feeling that light come into your life, you can recognize it. And continually, which leads me to number two. So number one is study to get light in your life. Number two, persevere. Don't give up. If it is not coming to you right away, if you're not feeling that light right away, don't give up. I know I shared in a couple weeks ago that I have never in my life gone so many months in spiritual darkness as I had the quarter of last year. The last quarter of last year. And I had a lot going on in my life. I had a lot of anxiety, getting a divorce, tearing two families apart, all the emotions and the legalities of it and moving and everything. It was just, and I clung to the Word of God, and I would say my prayers every day and read, but I was in consistent darkness. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't understand, but I persevered and I didn't give up. And I'm so grateful for that, because I know that I know now that there is an amazing difference. If you just keep holding on, you will feel the light of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And maybe you'll get lucky and you'll feel it immediately, but maybe you'll be like me in the last of the end of last year and be wondering, why? Where are you? And you keep continually showing up for God, and He'll show up for you. It might not be as soon as you want, but He will. He will show up for you. And I love that. Gunner, you picked number three of a good way to keep the light in your life. So number one, study. Number two, don't give up if you don't feel the light right away. And number three,
prayer.
Pray. That is an instant way to evoke God's light in your life. If you're in darkness, pray. If you're having a hard time, pray. And every time you pray, you're given that strength and you're given more light. And I wanted to share in Alma chapter 19, verse 6. This is a little background. So this here is a king that has grown up his whole life without religion. And he was taught by a missionary of their arch enemies, right? They are these people called the Nephites, and there's these people called the Lamanites. And King Lamoni was the king of the of one section in one area of a Lamanite land. And so they were born and raised to hate each other, these two people. And so Ammon became a servant. In a nutshell, Ammon became a loyal servant of this king and earned his love and trust and admiration, and then taught him about Christ. And here is King Lamoni's experience with light. And I loved this verse that I wanted to share with you guys. It said, "Now this was what Ammon desired, for he knew that King Lamoni was under the power of God. He knew that the dark veil of unbelief was being cast away from his mind, and the light which did light up his mind, which was the light of the glory of God, which was a marvelous light of his goodness. Yea, this light had infused such joy into his soul, the cloud of darkness having been dispelled, and that the light of everlasting life was lit up in his soul. Yea, he knew that this had overcome his natural frame, and he was carried away in God." And I loved the imagery, and I loved to hear that his soul was infused with joy and the light of his goodness. How can we get more light in our life? Study. Don't give up. Pray. But also, anytime you act on good thoughts, anytime you help people throughout your day, when you really just want to go home and sit on your couch and watch your favorite episode of whatever, when that volunteer for a meal passes by you at Sunday school and you don't want to sign it because you're busy, you know, every time you choose light, every time you choose to go out of your way to help people, that brings more light into your life. And every time you do read the scriptures and choose light, it's going to infuse that. I loved that imagery. Infuse joy and light and goodness in your soul. And I can feel that. Like, I can feel, just like Gunner said, when you read your scriptures and you're praying, you feel different. Like, there's a palpable difference. Like, it's tangible. You can feel it throughout your day that it's just a little easier to be a little better because you've put God first. And I love that. And we're promised if we have the light of God in our life, we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be scared. And I think that's so beautiful is that you get peace. You get peace and joy and light. Because if you know you're trying your best, if you know you're doing everything that you possibly can, imperfectly, but you're trying, God will be there. God will help you. God will give you His light. And His light will strengthen you. Gunnar, do you want to end with Psalms chapter 27, verse 1? And I really loved this.
So Psalms chapter 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?"
And how do you think that scripture, how does that help you, Gunnar?
To me, it's like, why would I fear?
Why be scared, right? I mean, you might be nervous and have some things you worried about, but if you're trying your best, God knows that. And God loves you. And if you're praying and you're trying to hear that voice and that guidance, then don't need to worry. You don't need to be scared. He's got you. God has got you. And I love that. And again, I would like to close on my end with the one of the 12 apostles here that's living on the earth. His quote, again, "Scriptures are like packets of light that illuminate our minds and give place to guidance and inspiration from on high." Don't we need guidance from God? Don't we need inspiration from God? More of it in our life, Gunnar?
Yeah.
And we can do that, and we can get that, and we're promised that when we pick up the good word of God. And we wanted to leave our light with you this week, that we hope that as you're listening, that maybe it's infused a little light into your life and gives you a desire to turn to our Savior, who is the greatest light, and get more light in your lives. We love you guys, and I would like to emphasize that life is so much better when you have God in your life. When you have Christ the center of your life, when you're trying and thinking, how can I be better? What can I do? You're blessed with a deep joy, just like King Lamoni, when his mind was lit up at the light and the glory of God and the infusion of joy into your soul. And I have experienced that. Like I say, just in the end of last year and the beginning, the contrast in my life from not giving up and just keeping to trying and having faith and believing that God will show up for me, He will. Give Him the chance. Give Him the chance to show up for you, because He's waiting to do it. And He's waiting to infuse your life with joy. And we want to leave that with you, that we love you and that God loves you and that our Savior Jesus Christ will never push His light on you, but He will share His light if you choose to invite it into your life. And my very last thing I want to end on is, I love this talk from another apostle that's living on the earth. His name's Dieter F. Uchtdorf, and it's called Bearers of Heavenly Light. And in there, so this man is German. We love him. He's amazing. He's a silver fox, super cute. And Niska's claim to fame is, we shook his hand at Swiss Days last year and the year before we saw him. And do you remember his profession, Gunner?
He flew planes.
Yes, he flew airplanes. And one of his favorite lessons on light and dark is, he said, when I'm flying across the world, and I'm in darkness on the one side of the earth, does that mean there is no light? Is there no sun?
No.
No. It's there, right? Even at night, even at midnight, does that mean when we look outside that there is no sun? Because we don't see the light. We don't feel the warmth of the sun.
Mm-mm.
So I love that lesson, that imagery, that there is the light. The light is always there. Even if you don't feel the light of our Savior and the warmth of the gospel and His light and His love, you need to move yourself into a different place to be able to feel that. Wait, and the light will come. And I love that because so many people are like, well, I've been in darkness and there is no light. You know, I don't feel the light of Christ. It must not be real. But it is. There is real. The sun is always there, just like the Son of God is always there. And I loved that. And I've listened to that talk multiple times a week. I love it. It's one of my favorite. Just because I think, too, the light and dark that Clint went out of the world with sharing was the simplicity. So my ears perk up anytime I hear light and dark. And I actually went through reading the New Testament and the Book of Mormon. And once Clint passed away, I read a chapter in each one each night. And anytime they mentioned light, I would highlight it in yellow. And anytime they mentioned dark, I would highlight it in purple. And it was very interesting to see the contrast of light and dark and the different ways that it's talked about and spoke by in the Word of God. So just a fun side note. But we love you, and email us if you have any ideas or questions for us. We love your comments and your feedback. And thank you for rating our podcast. We love you guys.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.